And we started last week a series of Thanksgiving for, as a pastor, it's tough. You get like Thanksgiving weekend comes and you have that Sunday to wax eloquently about everything that has something to do with Thanksgiving. But pastor doesn't have to do that since you've been patient with me for 24 years. And we are here until Jesus comes or until you get rid of us. But basically, we wanted to take three sermons to concentrate on the big topic of Thanksgiving. And so we've been talking about being transformed by gratitude, and it takes more than one sermon. So thank you for your patience for that. And I look through the Bible, especially the New Testament. Thankfulness, thanksgiving, thanks, gratitude, grateful. My goodness, it's mentioned over there a plethora of times. That is a Miss Carol word, plethora. Pennsylvania Dutch from the East Coast, you know, plethora. I just had to throw it out there for her. But our scripture text was Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So thanksgiving ought to be a part of your faith. And part two today, we're going to talk about being transformed by the power of a grateful heart. Grateful heart. But above all these things, so when you look at scripture, you got to look at the pretext and look at before, look at after. If you're going to get a good biblical exegesis of scripture, you're going to have to be looking at all of it. So go back in future and look at it, and it talks about what to put on, what to put off. And Paul talks about your Christian walk and your faith. You take some things out of your life. You add some things to your life. I mean, that's a transformed life. It's not just going to church and just going through the motions. You got some things to do. And above all these things, put on love. That's a big one. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Perfection not meaning perfect, and no one that I know is perfect. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called into one body. We are the body of Christ. We are called. That's why we say that a lot. We're the body of Christ in Springfield. We are Oak Grove in the Oak Grove neighborhood. We are part of the body of Christ. Just one of many parts. But you need to let the peace of God rule in your hearts because you were called into the body, and be thankful. Somebody say, be thankful. Be thankful. Number two, let the word of Christ dwell in you. I'm giving you the outline while I'm reading the text. Number one, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. So teaching and encouraging, discipling, admonishing, correcting, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Yeah. And whatever you do, let's just deal with number three. Everything you do in Christ, every day, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and the name of Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah and amen. Father, bless this word, please. Help me to have strength to preach and teach it. May we hide behind the cross. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. We thank you for all you're doing in Jesus' name. Change our relationships. Multiply the anointing of God in our life because we need you. We have a choice today. Be grateful or be a grumbler. And we want to be grateful. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, all right, no grumblers here today. Amen? No grumblers. So somebody put the air on. Drop it down. No, I'm teasing. I'm going to leave you. I'll be happy for one Sunday. So last week we talked about the 10 lepers and how all received a healing, but only one came back to thank the healer. All of them got a healing. One came back to meet the healer. It's one thing to ask God for things all the time. And the reason we know he came back to find the healer, because you don't just say thank you on your face. He fell on his face and worshiped. I mean, that's the kind of worship we need. You're going to be a worshiper. Don't just come around being polite, saying thank you. That's nice. That's good manners. But this guy understood on the way to being cleansed by the priest, he was already cleansed by the high priest. How many know there's something greater than the church, and it is Christ. And so Christ healed him. He came back, and he fell and worshiped. And he was made whole. And God is so much more than a healer. Can you say amen? And an attitude of gratitude is deeper than just being polite. It's a heart posture we talked about last week. It's also a faith perspective. It changes your perspective. And he didn't just return thanks. He fell and worshiped the Savior. And we need to learn how to focus on the blessing and not just what's bothering you. So many times as Christians, we allow what's bothering us to keep us from remembering what's blessings, the blessings. How many say you know that you're blessed? Anybody? Anybody here know that you're blessed? You're blessed. People say, Pastor, how you doing? I say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. From a black brother of mine, when I was at Jimmy Swaggart Bible College, I used to clean the offices at Jimmy Swaggart College. I had a big position at the ministry there. I cleaned the tape duplicating room. And Ronald, my friend, this African-American friend of mine, Ronald, and his name was Ronald, the best name in the world. Anyway, okay, never mind. I would walk in there and say, how you doing today, Ronald? I'm blessed, man. And I mean with all the excitement and passion he can muster up. And I thought, you know what? I was there for 2.5 years. Maybe the first week Ronald's having a good day. No, next day I go in, Ronald, how you doing? Man, Ron, I am blessed. Third day, fourth day, every day you talk to Ronald, that boy knew he was blessed. Does anybody in here know you're blessed? If you understand, then you're talking about a relationship with Jesus. Ronald was in love with Jesus. And the older you get, how many know it could become easy to lose perspective? But I think sometimes age can bring some perspective. How many remember when a mouse was something you didn't want in your house? Oh. So age can help you realize that through it all, God has been faithful. I love what David said, Psalm 37:25. Once I was young, and now I am older, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging bread. David understood something. The longer I live and love and serve and lead, the more I understand how good God is. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And then he brings it to the next generation, nor their children begging bread. How many know God not only blesses you, he blesses your children and your grandchildren. It's a multiplication anointing. And God wants to tell you that there's some benefits. How many seen tough times? Let me see your hands. How many also seen the goodness of God in the land of the living? There you go. So gratitude has benefits. Medical experts say it can lower your blood pressure. Imagine that. It can reduce stress, improve sleep patterns, give you a better perspective about life mentally. It gives contentment when needed. Amen. Amen. Next time you go to the doctor, just say, Doctor, I am blessed. I just wanted to thank you. Because I know the great physician. So why is gratitude so powerful? I believe a thankful heart unlocks joy. So it's kind of like the fruit of the Spirit. And you don't see listed 9 fruit. You don't see, you know, Thanksgiving as one of the 9 fruit. But joy is. And a joyful heart comes from a thankful heart, right? It shifts your focus from what's wrong to who is right. It doesn't matter what's wrong in your life this morning. If you know who is right, I mean, it'll turn out best for you. It also brings the peace of God, that thankful spirit. And worry is a thief, but gratitude is a gift. It's a gift to learn how to begin to be thankful. It's a choice. You can be grateful, and it can shift the atmosphere. So not just when all things are going well, but especially when things get heavy. The shift doesn't deny the reality. Okay, we're not in denial. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Bad things happen to good people. So not denying that bad things happen, but it shifts from denying reality to reframing reality. Yeah, this happened, but my God is greater. Greater is he that is in me than the he that is making things around me or whatever. I don't have to succumb to pressures from people or problems or you know, promises made that weren't kept. I don't have to give in to that because I have the peace of Christ. I have Christ's peace. Amen? So I'm right with God. How many know it pays to be right with God? It pays to be right with God. So all of this is a reflection, especially right here in our text, of understanding the people we're talking about are right with God. So let the peace of God rule your heart. Okay? You got to walk in this, and I'm going to break it down. But I want to know, Pastor, how do we get this? You have a choice, you know? Instead of being consumed by burdens, you notice the blessings. You may have overlooked something. Say, like what? Well, you got breath in your lungs. I woke up able to talk. Thank you for your prayers. I can breathe. How many ever been there where you can't breathe? Then doctor give you a little. I mean, no, I'm going to get 5 or 6 of them and keep them in my pocket. Not against doctors or meds. They can help. But how many know the real breath? I'm talking about the breath of life. It can only come from God, right? It can only come from God. And I mean, maybe you overlook some other things. The people love you. How many know there's people who love you? So many times we focus on what we've lost and we can't remember what we have left. And so perspective is a big deal and walking in faith. And so that's how you can understand how to pursue God and the blessings with a gratitude. The opportunities are still ahead. So stay excited about your future. You don't have to give up. You don't have to give in. The devil wants to render your situation hopeless and make you throw in the towel. But how many know the devil is a liar? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm going to make it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to make it. Now turn back and say, you may not look like much when you get there, but you're going to make it. Yeah, you're going to make it. It turns your attention from not enough to abundance. It's the power of a thankful heart. So how do you get this spirit of gratitude? Colossians 3:14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And number one, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts and be thankful. Wow. I want you to see the plural here and the focus on you, the church, as a whole. It matters. Gratitude matters. A thankful church, you know you can have a whole body who's thankful. Thankful, why? Not only because God blessed us with twins and a healthy mom and healthy babies. Hey, yeah, we're grateful. But we're grateful because we're born again. How many thankful that you're saved? If you're saved and you know it, somebody ought to notify your face. We're great. We're saved. So I know the God of peace. Therefore, the peace of God is in me. But I have to take it a little further, though. It has to rule me. See, that's a whole nother ballgame, and we're going to break it down. But I see the plural here, the church. He's talking to the church, the whole church. Why? Because sometimes somebody could get sideways in the church. Just because you're born again doesn't mean you're perfect. And there are sometimes well-intentioned dragons running around the house of the Lord. You never met Brother Know-It-All, and you never met him. I don't want to go down the list because you might be here today. No, I'm teasing. There, we are the church. I said we are the church. Not perfect, but we're his. So it matters. I'll break it down later. The word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing, singing in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in the name of Christ, give thanks to God through him. So the spirit of gratitude is going to fuel your faith. And you have some responsibilities, okay? But every time you recall God's past faithfulness, your faith for the future should grow stronger. And David recalled how God protected him from the lion and the bear. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine is no challenge for me because my God took care of me. Hey, I fought off the lions and I fought off the bears. I made it through this. How many know God's going to bring me through that? That's what he's saying. So it's a grateful heart, and it can change your relationships, shifts your focus, changes your relationships. A thankful spirit softens your words. It deepens your compassion. I mean, we didn't know you when you were in the world or lost. How many is grateful for that? How many is grateful that you're saved, that you're not who you used to be? Hey, I'm not who I'm used to be, and thank God, you know, I'm not yet what I ought to be, but I'm thankful for what I'm not used to being. Yeah, because the fuse was shorter then. I wasn't part of a body. I didn't know. I wasn't even part of a family. I came to Christ, and I found Christ and Melissa at the same time, and our journey began. I got married, and I had a family. I mean, you can sometimes need the peace of God to rule your hearts, even in your own family. No? Yes. Nobody wants to respond. It's okay. Your family's no different than any other family. We always get into, brothers and sisters get into a scrimmage. And even in the church, I have three other brothers. They thought I was like a little punching bag, one corner to the other. They wanted to make sure I was tough. Okay, well, I am tough. Thank you very much. I told him real quickly, hey, no more practice on me. I'm tough. So I had to start to scrap around a little bit. But this here, a thankful spirit will soften your words. Boy, I need the peace of God to help soften my words, to deepen my compassion when I feel like the spirit of slap comes over me and I want to slap somebody in the name of the Lord. You never felt that? It's hard to remain bitter towards somebody that you actively thank in God for. That's why the Beatitudes, he said, hey, pray for those who persecute you, who falsely accuse you. Pray for them. How are you going to hate somebody you're praying for? You don't hate people you're praying for. You're thankful for them. Yeah. So it heals misunderstandings. It draws people closer. It fosters love and can glue things back together. Families can come unglued. Churches, I've seen churches come unglued. Yeah, I've seen nations come unglued. Yeah. I mean, we need the peace of God in America to rule our country. But if God is not the author of the country, then you can see peace go out the window real quickly. So gratitude carries a multiplication anointing. So when Jesus fed the 5,000, the Bible says he took the bread, only two pieces of bread. Okay, he didn't have a bakery in town. 5,000 people. He didn't go to the bakery. I need 5,000 loaves. Didn't go to the fishery. Hey, I need like 10,000 pieces of fish. No, he took it, the two little fish and the five loaves of bread, and the Bible says he blessed it. Come on. He blessed it. He broke it first, and then he blessed it. Or he blessed it and broke it. Either way. Sometimes it's hard to bless the broken places in your life. You need the peace of God to rule you. You have to change your mindset, shift your focus, and have a multiplication anointing. When he broke it, he multiplied it. Without any bakery, without any fishery, just by the name of Jesus. And so God multiplied it beyond what you can imagine. Thank God for what you have in your hands right now. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You need to pray the peace of God. Rule your heart. Let it get a hold of your mind. Because if you don't rule your mind and your heart, I mean, it could get out of hand real quick. You'll never make right your relationships if you don't let the peace of God rule your heart and mind. That's just the truth right there, preacher. Preach it. So the question for today is, can I be controlled by a thankful heart? If you say yes, well, has anybody heard you express it lately? Say, oh, I'm controlled. I ruled by the peace of God, Pastor. Peace of God rules my heart. And ought to be followed by a thank you. Thankful for everything. Not for everything, but in everything. Amen? Yeah, some things I'm not thankful for. I remember in the early charismatic renewal, one of my friends just got saved, immature, didn't know the word of God yet. Hurricane Danny was coming in 1985, and he said, "Oh, Pastor Ron, I'm so thankful. Hurricane's on the way." I'm like, "Okay, brother. Hope you have a good time. I'm going up north." You know, you're not supposed to be thankful for everything. I don't thank God for the hurricane. I thank God for the King who's in the middle of the hurricane. You know, the eye of the storm? That's Jesus. He's the peace in the middle of the storm. So you got a little confused there. But make gratitude your attitude. If you say, "I'm grateful," and make it a pattern for your life in Jesus. I need Jesus' peace. I need his words. I need Jesus, period, all day long. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? To stay in correct relationship, to stay in unity, to stay in the body, to stay in focus with Jesus and everybody else around me, I need the peace of God to rule my heart. Amen? So where does gratitude come from? Well, I say it's a fruit of the Spirit of Christ, but what can it accomplish in me personally? Well, what can it accomplish for the kingdom? You're part of the body of Christ. You are Oak Grove. If you go to the restaurant and lose your cool, I mean, you affect all of us. Oh, don't you go to Oak Grove? Oh, that's how y'all are over there. I mean, you better find out the DNA of this house. That we are not like that, not all of us. And so I would say, I don't know what happened to them. If they come to me, I say, I don't know what happened to them, but they lost the DNA. You better go get a DNA. Check it out. Hey, my child, check the DNA. That's not how Oak Grove operates. We are ruled by the peace of God. That's what he said to do. Let the peace of God rule your heart. Don't let your anger, your emotions rule your heart. So you lose your job. How many know you keep your peace? Don't let everything get out of hand. It's not optional. For the results of losing your peace are not beneficial to you. Make gratitude your attitude. Amen? So I say God can accomplish some things, and we're not going to be finished today. But the thought of thankfulness is mentioned 3 verses, 15, 16, 17. In 15, he says, be thankful. In 16, he said, given thanks. Or he uses the word grace. Grace. Can I tell you that grace and thanks is interchangeable? They mean the same thing, right? Because grace is a gift. So is thanks. If you get the attitude, it's a gift. Giving thanks. You're giving it. Are you seeing that? You're giving it away. So therefore, it's a gift. Giving thanks. When you go to Thanksgiving dinner, hopefully you sit down and say, grace. You seeing that? You say grace. It means you're giving thanks. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. So 16 says giving thanks. Some versions say grace in your hearts to the Lord. Charity or grace can be used. And then 17 is giving thanks in verse 17. Be thankful. Literally means become thankful. Therefore, gratitude is a choice. What I'm saying today and the challenge for today is, hey, you don't have to be perfect, but you should become. Remember the 1 John 1, I think it says, many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. Or maybe it's John 1, 12. One of those, I am not a walking concordance. But I'm telling you, it just came to my mind. I want you to see this verse. So as many as received Jesus, to them who received him, gave he power to become. That ought to give somebody excited in here. It means you don't have to be perfect. It means God's still helping you become. He's still working on us. I need more peace. I need more patience. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to cultivate peace and let it rule. So the word rule is like umpire. It's not like leadership, dictator, authority. It's more like the word umpire. Let it rule. Let it be the umpire. So when you come up a situation in the church or outside the church, in your home or anywhere else, where something gets a little bit frazzled, let the umpire be there. Hey, safe, you're safe. You let peace rule, or you're out of here because you broke the relationship. I mean, no, God's not pleased with a broken relationship. Let the peace rule, you get healing, restoration. Are y'all hearing this? If you don't let peace rule, then the benefits are not there. So So you may not be able to control your situation, but we can control how we respond. Don't forget, Paul wrote this letter from prison. Not from the penthouse, from the Ritz-Carlton. So even in the worst situations, we can be thankful for what? For what? God hasn't left us. Say, Pastor, I don't have anything to be thankful for. I don't know. I don't agree with that. Right now at Oak Grove, we can be thankful right now that God has not left us. Say, how do you know? Because the Bible says, I will be with you always. Amen? I will not leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews. He hasn't left us. I said, he hasn't left us. Wherever you are, he's not done yet. He's going to work it out. Somebody say he's going to work it out. Hang in there. Hold on. He's going to work it out. I said he's going to work it out. And not only is he going to work it out, he hasn't left us. But how many today can say, you know what? I can have peace. Let it rule in my heart because he's coming back. He's coming back. Hey, I don't know how, you know, what the Buddhists do or the Muslims do or what kind of hope they have. Is Muhammad coming back? Is Buddha coming back? I don't know about all of them, but I can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice because I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth again. And no matter what my state of situation is, go ahead and give him praise. He's going to take me out. I can have peace. I could be peaceful with that. I could be at peace, you know, rest in peace. Be at peace. Don't forget, no matter what you're going through. So I want to say this. It seems on the negative because it says speaking to yourself with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you know, teaching and admonishing one another, you know, let the word of God dwell in you. Richly. So peace of God, rule your heart. Number two, let the word of God dwell in you. How? Richly, abundantly. How? Teaching and correcting, admonishing, and singing. Hey, I don't know how you sing. Are you just like a monotone singer? Or are you just like, I mean, you got to have emotion. You got to sing with melody in your heart to the Lord. You're not singing to some statue. You're not singing to the unknown God. How many know who we're singing to this morning? You got to sing with all your heart. Worship. Sing with joy and gladness in your hearts to God. That'll keep you in peace. You see that? Let the word of God richly indwell in you. So why are we struggling in America to become thankful, Pastor? Well, I think we're in the last days. And Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:2 said, know this. That's pretty important. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. How many thinks we're in the last days? Verse 2, men will love themselves and money. There will be boasters and proud, blasphemers and disobedient to parents. Wow. And there are big and bold, unthankful, right next to unholy. What happened? Paul's saying as the days of the Lord get closer, people's hearts are going to get colder away from God, and they're not going to know the difference between pleasing God and pleasing themselves. And they're going to have some issues. They're unthankful. They stop thanking God for all that he's done. And they become unholy, despisers of good, traitors. These are big. This is serious. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Oh, Grove, we are the body of Christ. You get around them kind of people, you need to turn away. Don't turn them away. I just don't eat with chickens when I could be soaring with eagles. Are you seeing what I'm saying? You are the church. That's not the DNA. You should be having the words of Christ dwelling in you richly, not shallow. Can't even quote a verse. One of the things about pastoring Oak Grove for these many years, Melissa and I, you know what? Though your expressions may not be, You flow deep in the word. Can I just, I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to congratulate you and commend you. Thank God you know the Bible. That's why nobody's come in here and held captive silly women or thrown you for a loop and the winds of the culture are swaying to and fro with gimmicks and all kinds of fads and stuff. But you stayed straight because you know the word of God. It dwells in you. So it's Christ's peace. It's Christ's word. They dwell in you richly. So congratulations. I love verse 9, but they will progress no further. I mean, although we're in the last days, the devil is going to have a day where the Lord's going to say, that's enough. I mean, there's a day coming where God's going to put an end to all the foolishness going on in the church today. They can have the heyday. They can go ahead and do all they want to do and shine like they're the celebrities. But how many know Jesus is not going to share his glory with anybody? There's only one throne in the heavens. And how many know he's going to sit on it? And there's only one room for one to be leader of this church, and it's him. And don't forget Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. And watch this. Nor were thankful. Why is thankful in the middle of all of this? What is the thing about being thankful in that negative context? When you lose your thankful heart, you lose the heart of God. You lose the presence of God. But a Christ-centered church, how many know they're ruled by the peace of Christ? Peace is not passive. It's not passive. You have to work to keep unity in the body of Christ. You got to work at it. You say, oh, well, I don't know what's happening on that side of the church. The Lord bless them. I don't even know who's over there. You might ought to get to know them. That's your family. Well, I don't go on that side. It's too cold on that side. Well, because the vent is coming straight at them. The other reason is because in the winter, they open the doors for 50 minutes, and then it freezes in here, and then they blame me. But I'm here to say I'm not to blame. Go ahead and give God praise. Just setting the record. Pastor, you just put the air on. No, I don't. Put the heater on, people. But when you let 32-degree weather in, that's just me. I'm just helping you. So Paul says this. You who let the peace of Christ rule, the word rules is umpire, like I said. And it shapes community. It governs your reactions. It settles the arguments in the relationship. And I don't care what color or class or creed or claim that you are. The church is to be at peace. Let peace rule. I don't care where you came from, what color skin you have. How many know we are all the body of Christ? That's what he's saying. Let peace rule. It doesn't matter what culture you came from, how rich your people were, what kind of car you drive. You better get along with each other. That's what he's saying. Don't you love that? So a Christ-centered church is marked. It's marked by peace. Get along with the rest of the body. I said, let it flow through you. Are you a peacemaker or a troublemaker? Does trouble find you? Or do people gravitate toward you because peace just overflows from you? Well, thankfulness is a part of that. And a Christ in a church is marked by patience. Oh, boy. Patience, purity, unity, gentleness, forgiveness, humility. So when you're tempted to create an atmosphere of division, Paul says, let peace be the umpire that makes the call. Peace grows alongside gratitude. Gratitude fuels peace. A thankful heart has no room for bitterness, comparisons, resentment, or pride. That's the peace of Christ. 24 years almost we pastored here. I've never compared Oak Grove to James River, Central Assembly, New Life, No Old Life, or any other life. You know why? Because that's not the body I am part of, the steward of. Let them do what they do. How many know we do what we do? We do what we do. Don't blame me for what they do. Because they do what they do in their house. It's the same thing here. Let it dwell in you. There's a difference between a dweller and a visitor. Now, Melissa and I in Louisiana, we had a lot more visitors. In the Ozarks, they don't visit a lot. And it's a new day. How many know we all closed our garages and our blinds? We don't want anybody to come over since COVID. You know, you might have something. We'll hardly do potlucks anymore. I don't want potluck. You might have something. Germophobia. But back in the day, we used to have people at our house. But I just want you to know something. If you were a visitor at my house, there's some rooms in my house you're not privy to. Okay, and you can't bring a can of paint and say, you know what, Ron, I think your kitchen, you and Melissa, should have a green kitchen, you know, and I think I'm going to paint your kitchen. You don't paint my kitchen. You're a visitor. I paint my kitchen because I'm a dweller. And what is Jesus saying? I don't just visit your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule you. Let it be a dweller. The word of Christ, dwell in your house. If he wants to paint my living room, go ahead, Lord, paint my living room. You're not just a visitor, Lord. The word of Christ is the dweller in my house. It's not just a visitor. Are y'all hearing me? You have the right, Lord, to do whatever you want to do. You're more than just a visitor. You're not a visitor. You're a dweller. So you live here. You can move in, God. How many don't want God to take up space in your house? How about in this house? Take up space at Oak Grove. Decorate Oak Grove any way you want to. Be a permanent resident, not a weekend visitor. Richly, not chinchy. Not chinchy, overflowing. Let the word of God get in you. Memorize some verses. You ought to be knowing the word. You don't have to be a walking concordance. You don't have to quote all the Bible, but you ought to have enough to have a relationship with Jesus. And maybe even share Jesus with somebody else with a little bit of the Roman road or something. What road are you going to take them down? You can't lead them to Jesus down the road to no road. So it's not just in your Bible reading, but in your conversations. Let it dwell richly in your decisions, in your reactions. I don't buy a car without Jesus. Jordan, we don't have babies without Jesus. We don't pastor a church without Jesus. If Jesus didn't want Melissa and my family to pastor this church, we wouldn't be here. He affects every part of every... Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? All my decisions that the Word of God leads me. Worship leads my worship, my habits. And again, how? By teaching me and by admonishing me. And singing with all worship, which is all worship, right? When you're full of the word, deep word, you walk in love and unity. You build up, you protect, you correct. And not only do you correct, but you're able to receive correction. If you're in the house of God, if you're in the family of God, if you're in your own family, you ought to be able to have fear of God one for another. Nobody knows it all, so you ought to be able to receive some kind of correction. The only people who can't receive correction are on an island all by themselves. You see that? So let the word live in you, move in you, take up space in you. Not a weekend guest, not an every now and then visitor, a permanent resident, not sparsely, overflowing. And then the church becomes a teaching place, one another in all wisdom. When the word dwells deeply in God's people, we build each other up, lovingly correct each other. And if you, very rarely has there been correction needed in this house because the word of God is richly in you. You understand that? Yeah, some pastors have a heartache and a headache because their people are so shallow. They don't know the Bible. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. You make it easy to be a pastor. I'm just telling you, thank you. Thank you. And then the word expresses itself through worship, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs with thanksgiving. Where the word is full, worship overflows. If you know the one who we worship through the word, then worship overflows. You don't have Taylor and Chrissy trying to chime you up. Come on, let's go. You know, you walked in knowing who we're here to worship. Nobody had to kickstart you. Nobody had to get you rolling. Do I have to cheer? Come on, cheer. It's a big cheer session. Let's go. We're having a party. No, the party's coming. I mean, no, he's not here yet. We're just warming up. But we ought to be worshiping our way into heaven. And then the last one, do everything in the name of Christ. So the peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and the name of Christ. Simple little message today and just about done. Whatever you do, word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. So I think Paul's right here intentionally removing all categories spiritual things, not just spiritual things, not just ordinary things, whatever you do, whatever you do. If you go and play golf in the name of the Lord. Going to Walmart, just in the name of the Lord, here I am. I was in Walmart the other day, and that's where I saw Benny. Benny's here somewhere, Benny. Benny and his wife passed away a couple of years ago. But I was going right by electronics. How many know the Lord can be in electronics? That in that area of Walmart. And I heard it, do I know you? And I can't hardly hear it. And I thought, no, I don't. Everybody knows me, I think. Unless it's you, Lord. I turn around as Benny. Said, it's you. I've been looking for you. I'm ready to come back to Oak Grove. How many glad he's back at Oak Grove? Amen. Amen. And Benny, through tears this morning, he sat in the front foyer before Sunday school. He said, through tears, I'm so glad I came home. So glad I have my church family. That's a thankful heart. That's a thankful heart. But wherever you go, whatever you're doing, even if you don't say nothing, I wasn't saying nothing. But the Lord had somebody who stopped me along the way. Said, I'm ready to come home. Come on home. I said, come on home. Maybe you're running from the Lord all these years. I mean, it was time to come on home. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let all life's troubles stop you. Just come on home and let God bless you. He'll work things out relationally. He'll work private things out. He's Lord over it all in the name of Jesus. It means in his authority. How many know there's authority in Jesus' name? Come on, it's only 11:15. How many know there's authority in Jesus' name? Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Now, I know back in the day it got crazy, you know, that you can't even wash dishes. I'm washing dishes in Jesus' name. I mean, okay. All right, we'll go ahead, but that's a little bit much. A little bit much. But just go ahead. It ain't going to hurt you to wash dishes in Jesus' name. Just make sure that you get all of it cleaned. In his authority, representing him. In other words, everywhere I go, I represent Jesus. Secondly, I represent the Moran family. I represent Melissa and the Moran family. Thirdly, I represent Oak Grove family. Yeah, where do you want to find your pastor at? The Midnight Rodeo? So he says, hey, I thought I saw your pastor at the Midnight Rodeo riding one of those mechanical bulls. Can I tell you, just tell you right now, you tell them immediately, that was not my pastor. Benefit of the doubt, people. There's some bald man with a mustache running around looking at the rodeo. But it's not my pastor. Why? Because that's not the DNA of my pastor. He don't go to the Midnight Rodeo. He don't even pull in the parking lot unless he has a flat. Then he's calling a deacon and he's leaving. I represent Jesus. I want to reflect his character. I want to aim to honor him in word or deed. Sometimes I go to the hospital, I look like this. Their pastor today looked like they just came out of oh God help me. I don't even want to go there. But I had one guy criticize me one time for dressing like this to go to the hospital. And I finally had enough. How many know there is a place in Jesus for a holy slap? I said, you know what? I'm sorry this doesn't approve your, you know, relevant dress code. But if I was the person in the hospital, I would like my pastor to look a little bit more respectful. I said, you look like you don't need to know the whole conversation. I was just saying. I reflect the character of Christ, not in my dress, but my presentation. I would like to say that's my pastor right there. That's my pastor. Seeing that? Now you say, oh, here comes my pastor. I hope nobody sees him today. Wouldn't that be sad? Sure, well, there's a bunch of them out there like that. Why? Because you can get a whole lot of preachers, but you can only find a shepherd, one. Real shepherd that cares and reflects Christ's image and honors the honor to Christ is the name of the game, right? So the Christian life is lived with constant awareness. I represent Jesus everywhere I go and everything I say. Again, gratitude, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Paul keeps coming back to thanksgiving. A grateful heart is the soil where Christ-like living is growing. Put it all together as they come back, Chrissy, if you don't mind. Describes a life shaped by Christ from the inside out. Peace rules your heart. The word fills your mind. And the name of Christ directs my steps. My heart is ruled by peace. I want the peace of God to help me. Hey, even if it's tough, even if I have a bad time, even if I have a severe loss, I can still have peace. No matter what condition I find myself in. I think about Daniel looking out the window and hungry lions all around him. He's got the peace of God and so he's looking out the window. Toward the east, by the way. Why? Because my Jesus is coming back from the east. He's going to split the eastern sky. And if these lions eat me alive, I'll be soon with my maker. Are you seeing that? That's called perspective. And the word fills my mind. Why should I let worry fill my mind? Why should I let resentment fill my mind? Why should I let all of that? I have a choice. Peace. The word and the name. And this is how we become people who don't just believe in Christ, but display Christ in everything. Where do you need Jesus? Peace to rule in your heart.